Bezras Hashem, today we will be discussing Haftarah, learning Haftarah Parshas Chayesara. And we'll be discussing in particular the incredible crown of David HaMelech. A starting point in this discussion, Mirt Hashem, will be in the Haftarah. We'll be learned about Adoniah ben Chagas, the son of David HaMelech. Chagas is his mother, who was determined to become king. And the Pasuk says, V'Adoniah ben Chagas nisnasei le'imar ani emlech. He lifted himself up and attempted to become king by saying, I will rule. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Chof Aleph and Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Dalet learns that he tried to do something which didn't work. He tried to become king in this Pasuk's hinting. Misnasei Lamar, he attempted to become king, but he was unsuccessful. What did he plan on doing? Says the Gemara, he tried to don the special Keser crown of Malchus Beis David, the famous David HaMelech crown. He tried to put it on his head, but it wouldn't fit on his head. It wouldn't stay on his head. So therefore, he failed miserably beginning of his coup trying to become the new king. I think the Gemara means to be a daikus, possibly. If I should speak about it, we could say maybe from the word lamar. The word lamar is extra so much that the Nezer Shimshon says, the Zimzira Shimshon says that Ani Emloich, I saw, in this week's parasha, he says, Ani Emloch, he actually spoke about king, but he actually never even became king. Ayin Shem, because it seems later on in the Pesukim that he did. He learns that he never even actually, practiced being king. Look at the Zira Shimshon. But the Gemara is being Medayach, Ani Emloch, he tried to become king by donning that crown, and he was unsuccessful. Why couldn't the crown sit on his head? What's so special about it? What's the big deal? We'll see you with Hashem soon. On the other hand, the Gemara brings the Psukim in Divrei Hayamim, Beis, Perakov Gimel, when Yehoyash was a young little boy and Asaliah had killed out all of Malchus Beis David, like we learned in the Haftarah of Shabbos Shkalim, and he was hiding in the Kodesh HaKadosh for 8 years. When he finally came out, Pasuk says that they took out this young boy king, Vayitzi was Ben HaMelech, Vayitnu Alav Esanezer Vesaedus Vayamlichu Oisai. They made him king by putting on him the crown and the testimony. And Rashi and Hirayam, and whoever Rashi and Hirayam really might be, gives a pasuk shot, two different things, an edus and a nazir, and a crown. But he brings that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says it's one thing. Because since the crown fit him, the crown sat on his head, as young as he was, the crown sat on his head, it wasn't anything but a solid proof that he's the king, because the crown would only sit on a real melech from Malchus Beis David. From David all the way down, Adoniah not, Yehoyash yes. So this was a sign that he's really the king. So what was the sign? This seems to be Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi in Sanhedrin, don't know what his makar is, maybe from the Gemara itself, maybe from his Rebbe, maybe he has another makar, maybe he has a Nesaira. Rashi says that there was a golden bar which ran from one side of the crown to the other. We spoke about this crown many years ago, and after Yeshua, Mirt Hashem will be saying a little bit new stuff today. There was a golden rod that ran across, and therefore it wouldn't be able to sit on anybody's head unless there was indentation in the head. Even indentation on top of the head, so then the crown could sit on the head, and this pole could rest on this indentation. Sort of there's like two bumps, like two humps, on the top of David HaMelech, and Yehoyash and Shloim and all the proper kings, not Adoniyahu. Tosfos seems to say, no, it was a regular hollow crown, but it was a nace, it wouldn't fit on Adoniyah's head, and it would fit on David, it would fit on everybody else. Now, it seems Rashi in Avodah Zarah seems to go a little bit with his Tosfos, and the Mashah seems to go with this also, and explains, it didn't wear this like a crown, like your children wear on Purim, over the whole head. Or like in the pictures of kings and queens. No. This crown was worn in the front part of the head, near the Makom Tefillin, and as a hollow part, there is no hollow part, you can just sit a crown on just a little part of the head. Now there's a small little crown, can't just sit on the front of the head. It needs to sit all around the whole head. And somehow it would sit on those that were roy from Malchus, on David, Shlaima, Yehoyash HaMelech, like we said, and all the other kings that were king, not Adoniah. So as Machlokes, if they had this bar or not, so this seems to me from Rashi and Tosfos. I would like to share with you something amazing, fascinating, in the famous Kuntres Maria, which comes up from Chon Yerushalayim, every once in a while. And this is also printed in Yeshurun. The famous halachic journals of Yeshurun quotes this from Maria. They bring a letter from Rabbi Yisrael Peretz, who was really Yerushalmi, and he was into the Telzer family, living in Cleveland, which he has a letter, and they have a fax, or that's what it's called, the fax, a photocopy of this actual letter printed in the Maria, where he got this letter from the author of a sefer called Kesser Torah, Ein Yitzchak, written by Reb Chaim Yitzchak Aaron Rappaport, who is the Maggid of Vilkamir, who lived beside Yavav Yerushalayim and was friends with Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin. And actually, the Ein Yitzchak, his sefer, is printed in many normal editions of Ein Yaakov. Regular, the old editions from Europe have his pirish on the side of it, Ein Yitzchak, in a lot of parts. Bring the pirish Againim brings from Ein Yitzchak. And Reb Chaim Yitzchak Aaron Rappaport, the Vilkamir Maggid, wrote down this story, which we did haven't yet said. He told it to Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin. He heard it together with Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, the story. He wrote it down, and it got to the hands of Yisrael Peretz, and that's where we have the story from. And if you look in the Maria, this is an ER Tufshin and Gimel, you get details exactly where we got the story from, all the details. So it's not something Chas Hashem that was made up. There were two Jews, a father and a son, who lived in Yerushalayim, who were craftsmen, who were artisans, were very good at painting and decorations, who were hired by the Ottoman Empire to go underground into the what's known as the Ma'ara of David HaMelech, which they never let anybody go down to except to clean once in a while on the outer parts. And they were asked to go down and fix up some of the interior decorating. Now, I don't know exactly where this place is, but I do know, me giving the shir over here, having the schus to give the shir and sharing this with you, do know that if you walk outside of what's known as Kibbutz David HaMelech, the area by Kibbutz David HaMelech, I know there's a bit of a shayla about that. I did hear, though, from one of the sons of Rev Goldstein from the Old City, from the Asper Yeshiva, he said that he has a Messiah from Yeshua Leib Diskin. Anyone is Mefakpik, if it's really David HaMelech, is making a terrible mistake. Very strong Lushin he actually used. So if you walk outside, there is a big metal box with a door in it. I've seen it. I've been there a few times. The door is locked. I've never gone down it, but it's a grate. And you can see that there's steps going down, and there's a kfarim all along the side. And I've heard that down there is an entrance which goes into the Ma'arav David HaMelech. It's never open. So the Ottoman Empire was in charge of like many areas. Now we know the Harabai is by the Mufti, Rahman al-Islam. So this area of David HaMelech was also by them. And they needed to be redecorated. So they hired this father and his son to go decorate it, but they stood guard by the entrance and said, "We don't want to see you walking out of view, or you'll be killed." And they did this for many days, and one day, the guards had a holiday, they went away, they gave them the keys, they said, "Just follow the rules." And this father and son went inside and explored, and I don't have time in this year to redo everything that they said that they discussed. But they went into a room, and there was a sign in this room that says, Makim Hazek Kadesh 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 in Ksav Ashuris. There was an Aron with holes inside it. I don't know if it means a standing Aron or a lying Aron. And it said next to it, David Ben Yishai. And there was a very interesting, an eight-sided Magin David, not six-sided like we have. 6 points. I think it means 6 points, six sides. They're both 6 points and both six sides that we have now. An 8 point, eight-sided Magin David. And inside it, there was a crown which had a golden bar running across it. And they told this over the story to Rabbi Shulei Diskin and to the Vilkamir Magid. And the Vilkamir Magid said, of course, that's like the Shita of Rashi. So just amazing thing sharing with you. Let's go back to the main share. So this crown, which was passed on from generation to generation, and the Gemara says it's an Eidos, it testifies, if you're really deserving of being the king or not, we can ask a question about this crown. Where did this crown come from? Where did David get this from? So I don't know, I would assume, probably, you know, he had some very holy Yidden make it. He had Chatzkel, the holy craftsman, with Beit Kavanis, create this crown for him. But I'm sorry to tell you, that's not where the crown came from. This crown, we learn in Melachim and in Divrei Yamim, later on in Shmuel, and in Divrei Yamim, that this crown was actually captured from Bnei Ammon, the Ammonite nation, enemies of the Jewish people. Pasuk speaks about a war. It says in Shmuel Beit, Parak Yud Beis, also in Divrei Hayomim, the exact Maramakim, in Divrei Hayomim, Aleph, Parak Chaf, we learn how David was waging a war against Bnei Ammon, and he went to the capital of Ammon, of Bnei Ammon, which is called Rabbah. He took the crown of their king, Malcolm, their king, from his head. And it weighed a full golden kikar, which is a tremendous amount. It's a kikar shakayish. So it's 120 mana. And it went into David's head. And the Gemara of Agazar asks, how could such a heavy crown go on his head? So the Gemara says, it means it was ra'i for his head. Doesn't mean he actually wore it. It's too heavy to wear. The Gemara has another teretz that there was a magnetic contraption, maybe up, a little up in the ceiling, which made it not so heavy on his head. It pulled it up. Gemara says this. Which means, I guess, he only wore it by the throne. The Gemara has a third pshat that actually wasn't heavy. When it says kikar, it means the one diamond that was on it was worth so much like a kikar. Rashi, I don't know why, Rashi in Divrei Yomim brings another pshat that he heard that it might be, that it was just, there was a strings or something holding, maybe it fits in with the magnum pshat, but he brings it as a separate pshat, holding it up above his head, so it just looked like it was on his head, but it never actually rested on his head. It was just like grazing the top of his head. But we're going to see in Rosh Hashanah soon another pshat about this crown. So, about the weight of the crown. So, where did he get this crown from? This amazing crown, which is the Eidos. This crown came from Bnei Ammon. I thought we were saying the Chatzko, the holy craftsman, did it. Why is David taking this crown from this Gaisha king, and that becomes the crown of Malchus Beis David? I'd like to make the question a little bit bigger, much bigger. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, and Rashi brings this also in Navi, says that when it says he took the crown from Malcolm, Malcolm doesn't mean their king. Malcolm means then in Avodah Zarah, his name was Milcom. Like Moirach, the Moirach Avodah Zarah, they had a king, they had Avodah Zarah, who they called him their king. That was the name of Avodah Zarah. So this crown was actually on the head of Avodah Zarah, which fits in if it had the bar. Back then, how could a human being wear it? The answer was on a getchka, was on Avodah Zarah. So this crown that's by Avodah Zarah becomes the famous crown of David HaMelech. The Arjav, or the Bar Moshe, asked Akasha. The Medrash says that Pare sent Agalos to Yosef, and the Shpatim sent Agalos to Yosef. And the Medrash is B'dayik, that the Agalos that Pare sent, they ended up burning. They didn't want to use it. Yehuda burnt it and destroyed it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. And this is a descendant of Yehuda. David's taking this Avodah Zarah and using it. So the Gemara actually discusses that it didn't have a din Avodah Zarah anymore. The Gemara says, Itai Hagiti, who the Gemara learns was a guy, came and used a vatal Avodah Zarah. So it became kosher. When it became kosher, why is it yosher? Why is it alright? Isn't it mos? It's still disgusting. We have a sugi of something that goes through Rishinu and was Nevad. Gemara Avodah Zarah discusses if it becomes royal in Mizbeach or not. Even maybe Shina is kind or not, yes, Shina ben Eved, ain't Shina ben Eved, why in the world would they use this crown? So the Arzavah brings, the Zayir HaKadosh says, and also refers to the Kasha that was so heavy, the Zayir HaKadosh says that the greatest nace of the Malchus of David, which was representing Malchus Shemayim, was to take all the Tumah in the world and bring it under Malchus Shemayim. It was this unique thing for Malchus based David. David HaMelech wasn't trying to be a Melech on his own. David HaMelech wasn't trying to take Malchus for himself. He was just trying to be a Kli, to bring Malchus Shemayim to the world. That's why in Kabbalah, David's called the Midah of Malchus. In a very Pashup Shat. So David represents bringing Malchus Shemayim. So, we Alkin, the Kavach Hashem, the King of Lirat, Mephisphere, the Haver, Galulim, and the Aretz, and bring it all to Malchus Shakai. That's what David was doing. So when it came to Malchus, it's okay, and actually it's very, very beautiful that this crown came from Avodah Zarah of Ammon, which is called Malcolm the King, and no, is all under the Malchus Shemayim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Zayir says, how did it sit on their head? It was so heavy. It says the Zayir was a nace. And even a child could wear it. That's how they ought to put it on little Yehoyash with all the weight. It wasn't a problem. Whenever it was necessary. Some of Farshim actually say David's head wasn't constantly indented, nor was Shlomo's. So whenever they needed to test, they would put it on the head. Didn't always wear it, maybe. They would put it on the head, and then it would get this indentation, which would actually explain, if You learn Pasuk Shat, why in the world would Adoni have tried if he knew he didn't have an intention in his head? It's not going to work. Doomed to fail from the beginning. The answer is, he thought he would be able to be king. And now we understand Adoni's mistake. Adoniyo says, Ani Amlech. He wanted to be king. Mitzvah, I'm going to speak about this a little bit in the Shabbos afternoon show this week. He wanted to be king. Wanting to be king, you're not ready to be king. If you don't want to be king, that's the one who's going to be king. The Barbanel says, Mitzvah, we'll see, the Barbanel says by Shreifdom, Avimelech, Ben Gidon wanted to be king. He says, the last person who wants to be king is someone who wants to be king. Somebody wants to be the king, he's not ready to be the king. David was all about being Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, so that's why it was beautiful for him to go along and take this crown. But Adoniyo doesn't belong with this crown if he's trying to be the king. And then I found Rav Zilberstein in his Sfarim in a few places, I looked at the Eitzra Chachma in a few places, brings his Gemara, and he says that he heard from his father-in-law, Rav Yashar Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who said that Ma Toiv and Ma Noyim, how beautiful it is for this crown, which is used for Avodah Zarah, to now become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he bases a couple of halachas on it. He discusses the Mashal, the famous Shaila, about taking a church and making it into a shul. He discusses about a home which was lived in by people that were every Aveira becoming a Yiddish home. Someone told me this week, Big Tam Machachem told me this week, that I just didn't find the site, so I'm not sure how accurate, so I want to say it. I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. Is that there were some missionaries. Okay, why not? The Mayor Gergelstein told me that there was a Shaila of Rav Zilberstein also with some missionaries who had some beautiful wood, which Rav Zilberstein was speaking about being matter for Arna Kurdish, and he's using this Gemara as it's sad to go along and say it's okay. Because, yes, the agolis which Pari sent, we know they were disregarded. But here, when you're able to go along and use this for the actual Malchus, and this Malchus is based on the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lifting up and destroying all the Avodah Zarah in the world, that's a very, very beautiful idea. And Bifrat, if you make a Cheshvin, we know that David and Melech himself comes from Moav, and Ammon and Moav were two kochos which went against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's from Moav, and we know Shlaim ended up marrying Naamah HaMoinis, but here already David himself captures from Avodah Zarah of Ammon. So now, from Ammon, from Moav, like the Gemara says, Shtei Predes Tyres, two beautiful things, two beautiful little chickies who are going to come out of Ammon and Moav, and they were saved. And here we have, out of Ammon himself is coming this tremendous Kiddush Hashem, the Ikovd of the Paroi, like it says by Paroi. Because Baruch Hu says, I'm going to get great glory out of Paroi, and I'll get great covet. And the Rashi says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets covet from Avodah Zarah, it's a Kiyom of Yisgadlo V'Yisgadlo Shmei Rabba. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that Nebuchadnezzar attempted to say Tehillim greater than David HaMelech. Rashi says, it was going to be a more beautiful, a more special Tehillim than David HaMelech. The Mishash says on the Rashi, Chas V'Sholim, how could Nebuchadnezzar say more special to him than David HaMelech? So Mishash says it means it would have been a longer book. But I heard from Ramesh Shapiro, Zechazad Gavracha, I asked him once about this Rashi, and he said that Rashi means that the cover which comes out of Nebuchadnezzar saying to him, of course, is not on the same level Ruch HaKadosh as David. But when Nebuchadnezzar says it to him, it's in a way greater than David, because here from the Tumah itself, he's singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And actually, every Shabbat is Kadosh, you know. In Karibim, we say Rav Ravin, Ayvdech, and Sakif, and whatever tune you want to use for that, those words come from Nebuchadnezzar. He said that. It's in Sefer Daniel. He said, how great are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions? And that's a tremendous, tremendous Kiddush Hashem. Is from the Avodah Zarah comes our Karan, our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So yes, Adoniyo can't use this because he doesn't really chap what the Malchus Beis David's about. Yehoyash, as little as he is, will carry this because for most of his life, Yehoyash did carry the message and understand, as long as Yehoyada was guiding him, what Malchus Beis David is about. Because Malchus Beis David was about bringing the Malchus of our Kadosh Baruch Hu to the world. David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim, like the Haftarah finishes. Yechi HaMelech David La'olam. Yechi HaMelech David La'olam, with all of the different pshatim, also one of the pshatim, Yechi HaMelech David La'olam, is Malchus Shamayim, will last for us forever and ever. It's Shabbos.